other pieces there. So we simply ask people not to do it. That's why we have social people here. It's a subcommittee. Why would like to become a minister? There's no policies in place, apart from listening to us on Tuesday. So I'm handing over to Comrade JB to chair the BOLA.
And the researcher, can I just raise this? What we, when you had a researcher previously, you know, obviously that's running ready to implement Raghuji Kofiri as the leader said that he will be dealing with this deal close by itself. Now let us look at close number one.
Okay, thank you very much. Can I just very briefly explain for the benefit of members that we will be using two documents today, or rather we have received two documents today, so the one is marked by ours in 19, the one is 20. Document marked 20, that is the, what you always expect with the ASIC, the amendments are proof that it's how it should look. Formal part, it says on page 779, that's what you do this. 19 is just a document that I prepared for committee benefit, so we can see nicely everything in perspective how the bill would look like if the amendments are supported or signed on that. That will be our response for your attention to that too. Okay, then clause one. Answer the preamble, I gather that there's nobody has any who maybe like to talk to you.
It's not a matter of changing. I just remind us, you see, in the third but last line, it's a certain civil matter. Why do you say certain? Because some civil matters are not allocated to them. If so, which are they?
Yes, sir. They are being excluded in terms of Section 46 of the Act of some of the more substantive civil matters. For example, they cannot give orders for specific performance. They cannot adjudicate under validity. The interpretation of wills that has to be done by the High Court. There is, members will recall the submission by AMSA, though they would like some changes to 46, but I think they see what is when we get there. Initially, what is presently clause 1, if you look at the document number 19, it's actually a new clause. It is not part of the bill as introduced. I think we did explain it on previous occasion very briefly. All it does is it amends the definition of court in the Principal Act to draw the distinction between a court for a district and a court for any regional division. At the moment, the Principal Act just says court means a magistrate's court. So the words being added are for any district or for any regional division. Again, for the convenience of members, if you face right to the second last page of the document, it's page 16. I've just duplicated that clause there. That is as a result of the system that you're using, the track and changing package of Microsoft, can be confusing because everything is underlined if you add new things to your document. So I've just repeated this clause here. That will make it much clearer that the existing text is not underlined, so there is any difficult for any reason or decision that is what's actually being added to the existing act.
Thank you. We hit with clause number one. Okay, then we adopt it.
The second issue, this is very small. Of course, the numbers of the clauses will be changing, okay, but that is not amendment, so you do not have to take things. So you might take note of that. But the first real amendment there is we're adding an apostrophe S in magistrates. That is technical correctness. That's the first amendment there. And in fact, in respect of that clause, that is the only real change in effect.
I didn't get this one.
As you choose in what will be close 3 eventually, there's no time, you see? I just thought it could be done to concrete. Also 21A, so you're not amending anything there, that is the existing act, so the amendments are becoming
so
with
21, up to CA where you underline everything is back here, right. So let's go to EA, and the ones that are underlined. So EA is right?
Yes, now EA is just, it is required, and you'll see that EA is really a repeat of just the previous sub-clause. He said, for all purposes, for such purposes as he or she may say, in next any district or any portion thereof to another district. Now, because civil jurisdiction is being extended to regional division, we need EA. And it's a repeat of he said, for all purposes, for such purposes, etc., next any regional division or any portion thereof to another regional division. And she just, with your leave, you can just explain the motivation for that again. I think we've made very clear that we are looking at an incremental approach for the implementation of the civil jurisdiction. And this will enable the minister, for example, to say that for the time being, we will annex 2 regional divisions to each other, so that if you are, for example, 5 magistrates who can deal with civil matters in Division A, that you can also annex Division B, so those 5 magistrates can also deal with civil matters in B, because you will not have a situation where overnight, within 48 hours, all the regional divisions have the capacity to implement this fully, but you can use the individual to still offer the service throughout the country.
I've
discussed it with him. I think they've made a mistake there. The comment doesn't make sense. It doesn't even refer to clause 1. I think that's
the problem.
Just that it's a repeat of the existing provision that's been in existence since 1944, and you cannot really see how it's an administrative prerogative to divide the country into magisterial jurisdictions for stop and change, because it's got much to do with judicial function, but there's no room for interference at all from the minister. That also allows. The existing provision simply says establish a court for any district. Now, because, and you'll see that the existing G established a court for any regional division. Now, here it was thought necessary to explain it a bit more fully. that your district court is established for the purposes of, firstly, criminal cases, and secondly, adjudication of civil disputes, with the cross-reference being referred in each case to the specific provisions of the Act, which sets out and defines the jurisdiction. And G is really a repeat of this. G1 is the existing provision relating to regional divisions. Members will recall that regional courts at the moment can only deal with criminal matters, and that's why regional courts were established for the trial of persons accused of committing offence. With increased jurisdiction then that is given to regional courts, now Roman number 2 is being added, that is also established for the purpose of trial for certificate in civil disputes, once again with a cross reference to the clause setting out and defining that area.
If you look at G, right, line 2 of Roman number 1 says, so that increased jurisdiction, that means compared to the district court, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. Again, your cross-reference is the same as if you look at X. X also in Roman number 1 refers to 89 and 92, and in G1 also refers to 89 and 92, and 92 and 81 is where you will find that distinction being drawn between the two jurisdictions.
But then in sub 2 of G, you've got 29.1b as well.
Yes, that is the divorce matter. That is something that will not be adjudicated by the district court.
All right, okay. Thank you.
And the rest of it stays the same, yeah? And just as an aside, it's got nothing to do with the amendments. I did a quick check this morning. Remember I told members that this thing was a very old act, the 44 Act, and I've since 1944 this act has been amended 64 times. This will be the 65th, and that just illustrates the need to get in the key number thing in free draft. But those are the only amendments being concentrated to the section 2 of the program. The next clause, Chair, is an amendment of section 9.1c. It is deleting that provision in terms of which a regional magistrate can currently be appointed as a magistrate of the district. Members will recall the discussion yesterday in the committee's meeting. I just want to underline again that this clause apparently has been misinterpreted to extend civil jurisdiction to regional magistrates. That is not correct. This clause, as far as we could establish, has never been applied in any event. This provision that is there.
No.
Yes.
On that point, like for example, in a big magistrate's office, you need somebody in the district court. Can you use a regional magistrate to select
it's being done from time to time. See, I remember from my days, I was in Bronco Strait, an additional magistrate, and the regional court used to come on its periodical visits there, and sometimes they're all collapsed, and it's always nice because the regional magistrates come over and I ask, what can they take over from us? They've got concurrent jurisdiction. And in other words, they've got a higher jurisdiction, but they can deal with all the other matters. I've been trying, when I discussed this with JD, the only reason we think for the existence of this clause, and I see it was introduced in 1952 when the regional courts were established, the only rationale I can reasonably think of was that at the time it might have been started that there might be certain magisterial districts where the workload is so low that it didn't justify the appointment of a full-time magistrate. And the way to cover that would have been to say that, okay, a regional magistrate is also the magistrate for that district, and that regional magistrate would then be competent to deal with all matters, not only in that district, but also as an additional magistrate in respect of civil matters throughout the whole of the regional division. But like I said, we couldn't find one example where it's actually been used. And it makes sense, because, just if I can just take one further minute of your time, it's all fair and well to say that you know an additional magistrate for the purpose of civil adjudication in all the magisterial districts falling within the regional division, but from an administrative point of view, it makes no sense, because the magistrate of the district is still in charge administratively to allocate the court roles, etc. Now, how can that person now all of a sudden take an administrative decision on a regional magistrate which is under the jurisdiction of the regional court president? So, if it makes sense, well, I can understand that it's never been used. I don't think it's practical.
Are we then satisfied with the result? It is an opinion. So it might be closer, I guess.
The next clause then would be the new fourth in the bill as introduced, which is clause C. It deals with section 12 of the Principal Act. Firstly, there's a caveat being inserted in 1A, that regional magistrate may hold a court subject to subsection 6, courts held by a regional magistrate of regional division. Now, subsection 6 will be the new provision then, or maybe we'll get there, we can just look at B first here. We must actually look at A and D together, otherwise it makes no sense. Just to cover B very quickly, B is just an amendment being effected as a result of the judgment by the Constitutional Court in the Fanaroya matter, because that the part that we are missing there has been held to be unconstitutional because it's just a cleanup of the act. The subsection 5 that's being repealed there right at the bottom on page 6 by the appeal of subsection 5. In the previous law, we referred to 91C. Now, 91C had a cross-reference to the subsection 5, and it relates again to the powers of the regional court. This magistrate is now an additional magistrate for the purpose of civil adjudication. There's no, that sub-clause will become superfluous if we repeal 91C, so that's just being eliminated. Again, Chair, I can return to A. As I said, in A, we're putting in the caveat that the regional magistrate may subject to subsection 6 of the court. Now, subsection 6, 7, 8, the committee has already spent considerable time deliberating on those clauses. They're all new insertions in the Principal Act, and they deal with the issue of who can actually exercise the civil jurisdiction. 6, firstly, suggesting that it must be made that his name appears on a list. In 6 itself, you will see that there's a change being proposed to the bill that's introduced. It used to read only a magistrate of the regional division who has completed an appropriate training course and whose name appears on the list of 13 subsection 7 may adjudicate the civil dispute. The change being proposed here is that those words are being omitted who have completed an appropriate training course. So the only qualification in terms of 6 will be that your name must be on a list. But then, if you turn to the other clauses, there's quite comprehensive elaborations taking place. The new 7 being proposed saying, well, let me just refer to the old 7. The old 7 used to say that the Director General of the Department of Justice, Constitutional Development must compile and keep a list of every magistrate who's completed the training course contemplated in Constitution 6. Now, the old 7 elicited some comments. You can refer to that comment summary. Members will note that the areas of criticism was that it should not be the Director General compiling the list. I'm not going to go into merits of that argument, but the argument was that it could be perceived as interfering with or giving the Director General discretion as to who should and who should not be able to adjudicate the civil matters. More importantly, there was an argument raised as to who would decide on what is an appropriate training course and those kind of issues. So 7 is proposed to be changed firstly by saying that the Magistrates Commission, and not the Magistrates Commission, must enter the names of magistrates of regional divisions on the list of magistrates for adjudication of civil disputes contemplated in 291 and 291B. Then the rest of it is all new. 8, the Magistrates Commission can only enter the names of the magistrates on the list if firstly the head of the new Judicial Education Institute has signed a certificate in respect of the magistrate. Secondly, the Commission is satisfied that before the establishment of that institute, the magistrate has successfully completed an appropriate training course in the adjudication of civil disputes. Or thirdly, the Commission is satisfied that the magistrate, on account of previous experience as either a magistrate presiding over as civil cases, or secondly, as a legal practitioner with appropriate experience, as suitable knowledge and expertise in litigation of civil matters. The main difference between the new proposal is that in the original version, I think we've explained it previously, the intention was to create a mechanism in terms whereof your existing regional court magistrates, who now, some of them for years, have only been doing criminal work, could do a refresher course on civil adjudication. But it's left out of the equation the fact that when you fill new posts of regional magistrates, obviously there's an advertisement, people apply, they apply to the Magistrates Commission, and it would make no sense to say that when the Magistrates Commission has considered these applications from experienced magistrates, or more likely from experienced practitioners, that they must now still have an additional requirement of completing a training course. The Magistrates Course Commission may of course still require them, but it should not be an absolute necessity. If the Commission is satisfied that the person has appropriate, is a fit and proper person to do the education from day one, then it should be the case. So firstly, we're casting in terms of the new provision now for those existing magistrates who need their refresher course, people who are already appropriate candidates to exercise the jurisdiction, and then lastly, there's this transitional mechanism really called in respect of, or with reference to the education institute, which we all anticipate would be up and running in the near future, but that should still not be, well, it's not enforced by the others, for example. So you need a mechanism in terms of those courses that's already designed, that's already been budgeted for, that's already anticipating this legislation, and Justice College is ready, and Armed Forces is ready. So you need a mechanism in terms of those courses can also be legitimized and recognized as appropriate for civil adjudication, and in this instance the discretion is then given to the Magistrates Commission as the instance who decides is it appropriate training or not. And I think that's about as far as one can take it at this stage.
The way I see it you actually need with two different issues here. So one is an existing regional magistrate who's been doing criminal work for the last so many years. And then you will have new appointments, the 50 odd new appointments. I think the new appointments, once they interviewed and the commission satisfied that they are such a proper person, they need not get such a certificate for an issue like that. It's only the existing ones who have a lack idea of civil experience that need.
No, that is correct. That is why C, IC is really counting for that eventuality.
Any further comments on this question?
I don't want to reopen the discussion on I know the majority uses this provision. But I just wanted to ask you, why shouldn't they do courses? How is the Magistrates Commission meant to tell that a person is not sufficient to be in then the next thing is, it's not a big deal, and I don't guide the gist about BAC. Wouldn't it be easier if we said, before the establishment of the institution of surgery in paragraph 8, the Magistrates Commission satisfies that the Magistrates is necessary, it's really easier. But I won't die with this one. If you go on to do it, you can look at it maybe three. Then the next thing I want to ask you is in relation to the South African Judicial Education Institute, that is still a term, it has to come back from the SDOT. But presumably we can use the term because by the time we took the first vote to the NCUC, that will be an act in the institute. So it will become an act. So you can refer to something that does not make you focus enough in the law and still being focused on your
that is right.
So on my
you're going to give a response, so I'm feeling uneasy about
why shouldn't they
do the course? What's so we're all grateful for quantum all the time. What's so special about them? I mean, they're going to be dealing with these things. And frankly, I'm not sure that, I don't know how the magistrate's going to work, okay? So maybe I'm wrong, maybe they are experts to tell whether a person they're interviewing, based purely on their experience, can adjudicate on certain issues. Is this something that flowed from your negotiations with ANSA?
This has been discussed extensively with ANSA, yes, Chief. I did not, in regard to B, you were saying, are you suggesting a particular wording there?
No, really.
Indeed. Yeah. With regard to the course, Chief, I think what is important is that this is really a different issue. We are at the moment preparing legislation to ensure not only uniformity, but to lay down in law the exact procedure to be followed by the Magistrate Commission when it comes to appointment. The idea is to, there's been a practice developed in the Judicial Service Commission so far. It's not put in law, but you will find that now a judge is appointed or recommended for appointment by the JSC. If that judge had not been doing an acting stint in the High Court. So what you need to consider whether the person is sitting properly is to look at the case records of all the matters that he or she has been dealing with. And to a large degree on that basis, the decision has been made whether the person has in fact the appropriate, not only qualifications but experience to be a judicial officer or to be a judge. Now the Magistrates Commission is really following a very similar procedure. When you, for example, would apply for a position as an acting or as a regional magistrate, the ideal would have been, and it is being applied at the moment, but it's not written in law, that you would first get an acting stint as a regional court magistrate. And once again, on the basis of the court records that you then get, you've got that person's track record that you can decide on whether the person is sitting proper or not. The course, as I understood from David and his explanation, last time, there is a course in fact. It's a 4 or 5 or 6 week course given, but it's not a legal requirement at the moment. But and I'm sure that will also be addressed in that particular legislation. With regard to the course, Chair, I think it will be difficult. This is already rather exceptional. That we now, I think we raised it at the previous occasions as well, that for civil matters, we are suddenly introducing a court in reference to a court in the legislation, whereas the criminal matters, which in some respects have vastly more serious consequences, and people can be sentenced to life in prison, but there's no requirement for a court. That's why we need to look at the whole appointment mechanism. How do you get to the decision that the person is in fact fit and proper? So I think this is really just a mechanism. Yeah. We hope to bring it to you, but it's been given an indication that there's a limit onto what you can deal with in the near future.
Can I just ask for a See, normally we refuse. Here, the legal practice of these 5 years of experience in the administration
of justice. Here,
you could be a lawyer.
That's correct. It could be a lawyer, one advocate. And I must just draw to your attention, this was arbitrarily inserted by the 5 years of experience. And you might want to consider whether you think that is sufficient or whether one needs at all a reference to how many years one could simply say a legal practitioner with experience and suitable knowledge of that also an option. So the 5 years is something that you might want to consider a bit.
Could it be an appointment? I really think when Bulalani enters the room, you should specifically welcome him. And he's just chairperson very soon, so may I take this opportunity to set up the entire committee, MP and chief. By the way, can I ask a question? Is there somebody from Parliament lawyers here? You're conspicuously silent. You haven't introduced yourself. We don't even know you here. But your job is to now check all the cross-country things. So can we meet after this meeting? Lolly, you, the researcher, Johan, myself, and James just to sort out one of the practical things.
Yeah.
Listen, I think this is a post-study group conflict. I think the 5 years in session by Mr. DeLago, I think this is consistent with our previous series before. Because even if you talk about the one that gave the right of audience of attending in the High Court, it makes reference to that 5 years experience. He must have practiced it for 5 years. But I think what it tries to remedy is when we have a person that can long degree, for example, practice. There must be some requirement of 5 years of practice, for you to say that you can be freedom for a person to do two times a particular job. So I think it's a consequence with our previous.
I should add, I think it also applies the 5 years to a magistrate who wants to be appointed to regional magistrate. I think he has to have 5 years. To
okay. Any further comments before we move?
Okay, are we happy with the approach?
Okay, then the next clause is once again a new insertion. Again, I can refer to page 16 of the document. This is the clause 5, which refers to the insertion of the 16 capital case in the Act. It will be a brand new provision in the Act. At the moment, the clerks of the courts are appointed for the district courts only, and they are appointed, ironically, by the magistrate of the district. So this provision on the one hand is just a rewrite of that clause, but in respect of regional courts. Secondly, we're calling the clerks of the regional courts to be called a registrar of the court. There's two reasons for that. It's envisaged that they would play a more comprehensive role than the clerks of the court, although that is debatable.
So
the more important reason probably being the fact that at the moment the divorce courts have registrars, and those people in terms of transitional provisions will remain in office and become officers of the regional divisions to which they will be transferred in terms of this Act. But they will still remain registrars, and it makes a lot of sense to have a provision for registrars in the regional court. The only other difference that I'd like to point out here is, unlike the existing provision with regard to clerks, where the magistrate of the district appoints the clerk of the courts, the suggestion is that the Director General of the Department should make that appointment. And also, as you said, there's a step two there saying that any clerk of the court, any assistant clerk of the court, as other clerks of the district court, they can also be appointed as registrars or assistant registrars of the regional division. That is probably how this will work in practice, in fact. That you will almost automatically get an appointment as an assistant clerk of the regional division. So your point of entry will still be distributed throughout the country if you want to make use of that.
Thank you, Chair. In the High Court, your registrar has to have a law degree. Did you consider doing it the same in the regional court?
At this stage, it will not be shared. Once again, as a result, on the one hand of that transitional provision, where your existing registrars would also become registrars in the regional court. I do gather from what Xavier has told us so far that they are in fact looking at adding a professional qualification, because he said that they are anticipating that they will be doing substantive. They need some non-knowledge of substantive law, so it might well be in the pipeline. Unfortunately, I can't say from my own knowledge whether that is in fact the case or not.
I think the
registrar actually works for privately. No, that's not a requirement. But I also again believe for judgment in the divorce.
So that's what I was going to say. The divorce court is basically an administrative function. They go with a magistrate and they do the roles and things like that. present the different documents, present the default judgment. Right. Now we hit you with the section.
Okay,
yeah, okay.
The next would be in page 7, and there's an important amendment to that clause, the old clause 4, which now be clause 6 again, you're adding the apostrophe H on the that's the first issue there, Chair. Now this book may deal with the position in respect of persons. Now the first amendment there being proposed is then the full note that we're removing or suggesting that we remove the words. The original bill inserted the words for a district or a court of a regional division. Now as a result of the new clause 4, we define that's not necessary anymore. So those things that we remove there can all come out. The intention of that third sub-clause 1 is just to clear that the regional divisions will also, this section will now also be applicable to regional divisions. So you'll see the word regional division being added after just the order in division throughout that clause. The only real important change, now there is one important change here that I'm not sure. Point out it's in Roman or in E, paragraph E, Roman numeral 3. You'll see that we are substituting subsection 2 of section 69 by saying section 69.2. That is rather, it's a facelift for the leadership. I'm sure Mr. Barak can help me out even more, but normally it means that it's of your own accord. You're not necessarily giving the other party notice, you're bringing an application.
Normally an application you also serve on the other party.
Yeah.
But in an ex parte application you go direct to the source, but then there will be a return date where you have to be back to the other party. But you can get some relief in that.
For example, if you want to set an order to that month.
Yeah.
You can't even notice.
Yeah.
The real new part here is that sub 1 capital A that's been added here. There's an amendment to the original text being proposed there. That's just a correction. I see that 4 used to be 4. You just correction that.
Yeah.
What this deals with is that the regional courts will open our jurisdiction and refer to where the parties must be domiciled or resident. The other chair at one stage raised the question about the requirement for 1 year requirement. I think it's just the research for shopping to be out for shopping.
I just wanted to ask
This is 1A, ordinarily resident in the area of jurisdiction of the court on the same thing, and has or have been. There is more than one. Oh, I love the part of the Adana Sanatini. And the thing I want to raise on behalf of the team is, what is the comment, what is the apostrophe? I don't know what the term is. After speak, why is it got, is there an apostrophe? Why is it got that? The very last word on page 8C, what's that? And on behalf of the parliamentary representative, by the way, Comrade Jamie, can't you agree every time the chairperson picks up things that, strictly speaking, belong to the parliament lawyer, that gives me 5% of each other? Something his job. That's not my job. My job is to give you intellectual direction, because you very easily generalize you over a period. He doesn't say that I'm teasing you, pushing it up this in this case. But the point is, what is it really?
I'm really referring to the, it says state, full stop, quotation mark, full stop. That's what we're referring to.
Why is there a quotation mark here?
Because the quotation mark starts right at the heading of that. You go back to the previous phrase where the heading is jurisdiction, etc. So it's the principal act being quoted.
Oh, I see. So that's the quotation.
The last full stop check. That's how the bill is certified to be in accordance with current drafting standards. It's always been like that. One of the funny things that jurisdiction in respect of courts of action. The First Amendment introduced by the bill itself is in 29.1, where there is just a provision to the, or a reference to the National Credit Act being inserted, because there are provisions in that act that also have to deal with jurisdiction in respect of courts of action of magistrate courts. Then the amendment being proposed, you'll see there in the margin, again it's necessary to delete that reference for an district or a court for an additional division because of the definition that we said earlier. A, B, C, D is really the existing provisions of the Act. In E, again, the Credit Agreement Act, which is correcting that by reference to the National Credit Act. And again, in F, that is just an improvement by adding the reference to the Matrimonial Property Act. The first real substantive amendment being dealt with in that clause is 1A. This draws a distinction between the jurisdiction of the regional court as opposed to the civil court, the district court rather, stating that the minister may determine different amounts contemplated in 1A, B, C, D, E, F, and G in respect of court for districts and court for regional divisions. 1B, A, B, C, D. Is really a rewrite of the substantive provisions of the Act dealing with the establishment of the present divorce court, that is the 29 Act, Administration Amendment Act of 1979. It does say that it just stipulates that a court for regional division shall also have the decision to hear and determine suits relating to the nullity of a marriage. Then there's an amendment being proposed there, an insertion of the word for a civil union, and relating to divorce between persons and decide upon any question arising therefrom, etc. B, that the court for regional division during a matter referred to in A shall have the same jurisdiction as any high court in relation to such and NAPI. In other words, concurrent with the jurisdiction of the High Court, that is also a provision that is just transferred from the administration and
then
back.
Sorry, I'm sorry,
I heard you referring to one capital letter H. Yes, well, we're with one capital B now. I can help out here. The previous document, the clause we're dealing with now, is unchanged from the one that was distributed yesterday. If you contact
my lawyer. I'm using the one from yesterday. You see, I can't do it my lawyer from one to the
I'm finding difficulty with the change for change.
Yeah, but you see, last night I did all this work. I want you want me to come this morning, look at your latest document, and move all my notes from there today. Give me a research from the department. What's that?
There's very little changes. I'll point them out. There's only something added from yesterday's document, but this is all the same.
So, what do you want to take mine? We have applied as Lolly. Hi, Lolly. Did you get permission for Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday afternoon yet?
Not yet, but I
told you. But you really like me to.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically what we're going to do on Tuesday is we're going to have Joyce here. I was telling you, by the way, they didn't really hear the right. You know, they got quite a, like, proprietal tone in their voice. I spoke to Oberholzer and some counselors. And they got quite a strong feeling that, you know, they which I think is the way a popular democracy should operate. We're not a bourgeois democracy yet, even if we are 50-90 members of a popular democracy. It just works that. We're a little bourgeois democracy, but some of us give it an inflection. So, they actually spoke today to show their feet. Promote the development of judicial expertise. I presume you're from DNG, my friend. You understand I'm being facetious.
in order to develop the physical ecstasy. I am very surprised at the number of people who read your stuff. Like, if you listen to the local government, I think it listens. People, I don't know why local government just maybe in this area. People just read your stuff, you know, on the website. You put your website in. Ah, they're blasphemy. You can sit this on this day. I used to meet, I'm not telling you if you don't know the value of what you do. And right now, we think about local government was crucial 5 years ago when we were just thinking the new model. So I used to have ambassadors meeting. And they'd ask me something. I said, well, how do you know this? It's our website. Anyway, now, they know they need your money. So, you know, I was interested to say, but they basically wanted to say a point when the last words on page 3. Promote the development of traditional truth of a rank of magistrates with abuses brought in the pool of fit and proper persons qualifying for appointment 2. They wanted to put regional courts there. Regional courts. Somewhere there. That's the one thing they want. Which is really unnecessary. Can they'll be on Tuesday. We'll give them 20 minutes to half an hour for the learning. Then we'll have 22 minutes to half an hour discussion. And then we say goodbye to them. And then we put the bill for voting on the Wednesday morning. We need a quorum on Wednesday morning. Then we deal with the trial justice book. The department will come with a document. It will have a document 8 that will put down, the first half will be the policy issues. The second half is the concrete amendments, concrete proposals on the amendments of concrete provisions for amendments to clauses of the child justice law. Then there will be a document B, which will be the department's reply to all the public hearing submissions we've got. And we're going to go through the policy issues first on Tuesday. And you've alerted everybody. Now, why are people coming from outside Cape Town? Because the only people that need to come are the two representatives from the legally bought wants to come. All right, look, we can talk about it outside. Yeah. All right, that's fine. So they will be with us till, we will sit till 4 o'clock or later. Yeah, okay. Wednesday we'll sit till early afternoon, 8:30. Okay, that's all. In the meanwhile, while I'm waiting for this thing, can't we quickly go through this? Can I just read quickly because I went through this last night? Okay, looking at this summary of comments, right, very quickly, the first comment is that those discriminate unfairly against district court magistrates or agents incompetent to adjudicate to advance trials in the legal court. A 1 minute reply, what have you said here for that? Let me very clear why would you take this
account? No, you can't understand this jury court. There's nothing that's right. Negative on the district court magistrates. They will remain the main source for appointments to the legal court.
Okay, how expensive does dealt with Alice is the answer, but Jacques Dupree says this sudden growth says, Gender Commission, I read their submission only yesterday. Now, quite frankly, I found the submission difficult to understand what, how it is relevant to this particular bill. And really, like, surprisingly, not focused. Okay, Dupree raised something else that you didn't pick up, John. He says we need to address talent. Of parties, the party costs that a party can recover simply too low at these divisions. What does he mean by all of that?
I think we've covered that when we get to the rules provision that we've got to Neil Chief. I think we'll be looking at that. In terms of the continual provision, the rules governing the divorce courts will remain applicable until the amendment. So firstly, the tariffs are taken care of, they can't just change it. But then the new provision would suggest that the new rules must be focused very much on issues such as this that we can discuss.
Okay, but also it's not going to mean that because now you're dealing with issues at regional court level that you might have been able to deal with at district court level and or high court level. The point is the tariffs will not unduly penalize the poor. That's correct.
Yeah.
Now in our report to Parliament we expect that we will monitor that. So that's one of the points could be in Lolly. We will have to put in our report. Okay, so you turn to page 2 of the text of the summary of all the submissions. I understand submissions on gender equality is not at the first 2. Then LSFA says, the second one there on page 2, the geographical demarcation is jurisdiction of the court must be attended to. But that's banal. I mean, we know that. Right, so let's move on. So Lugan says, the appropriate training course referred to the new subject is sufficient. I think competence is prevented only a penalty.
I mean, there's no amendment he's proposing there. But the new subjects in some impact negatively on independent circumstances. The question is, who is fit and proper to adjudicate as a magistrate of a regional review? Yes, I mean, agree, we've done that already. LSSA, recommends proper training and thorough court and study of the police to survive in the region, especially with any competition to dispute. There's a desperate shortage of training, so we're going to be dealing with that, right? Arumsa then poses the question, well, Arumsa is dealt with already, right? Let's jump that. TGE says the 28-1C, the amendment is vague and open to listed. Hey, I don't understand this already. Why listed? It's a listed. He's proposed that the wording should be any other. Now that's 28-1C, and that we haven't come to yet, is that right?
No, we have actually covered that.
What's the point of the meeting there? I read their text only last night. I couldn't make sense of what they were saying.
Yeah, but the problem here is they're referring to the existing act or the existing text that's not being amended. They're referring to something that's been there since 1944. Now they're reading all kinds of possibilities in that day. Even if they have a point, it's a difficult thing to start reviewing the whole
thing. Because we are going to review the whole thing.
Yes.
Okay, when I speak to them, I'll tell them that, right? The words subject matter are vague and open to mischief and stupidity, but the words legal object, I mean, really, shall we dismiss it? Okay, Adam, sir, after 29, well, you've dealt with Adam, sir, already. LSSA raises the infrastructure that is exists already. CGE says the jurisdiction of the regional court in the circuit matrimonial action should be on a par with that of the High Court. Should you respond to that quickly? I mean, really, remember what you said.
Yes, that is. That is in the thought that we've already looked at. Jurisdiction in respect of actions. Well, they're making a point that may or may not be worth, well, probably worth considering. They're just saying that we should abolish the idea of proceeding in matrimonial manner so that they can deal with anything at all. I think you referred it briefly at one of the previous meetings. The effect of that would just be that in the really big cases, divorce cases, etc., you'll be giving an unlimited discretion to the lower tier of courts, and it may run into hundreds, even thousands of millions of rand, depending on what kind of effect it
has. Could we then ask, there's a need for rules in respect of matters other than divorces with the regional court, the rules applicable to the High Court should be adopted. Well, you address the issue of rules, we're coming to that, right? Arumsa says that, what does Arumsa say about clause 72 B and C? What about the Lord Court President? That's covered, isn't it?
No.
Okay, so CGE raised the thing from page 11 of their text, redesignation of posts. They said, but then really, I mean, honestly, that's not a matter for legislation, is it? So we have dispensed with that. And while we're waiting, what are the points we're going to put in our report? Obviously, Lolly, we have to put something about our concern about the implementation. That the committee received, we have to say a paragraph on that. The committee received the implementation program and engaged with it substantially. While the program seems reasonable, the committee feels the ultimate test will be what happens in practice. The committee has considerable concerns around the extent to which the department will be able to implement this plan, and will seek to actively monitor the implementation of the plan, and will require a report every 6 months, which is something that's on the incoming committee. But they must every 6 months report on progress. We also feel they must go cautiously, incrementally. There's another theme in another paragraph we need to pick up later, Christine. Something about doing this thing incrementally and sensibly. I think the point that Dr. Belfort raised, Johan, I need a comparing reply from the department and don't make the challenge. It's not right. You can't just give training to somebody and expect 6 months or, whatever the judicial education institute will be able to come up with the way the other training course. That you require like 10 years of experience and so on. Now, we should say something about that, that we have concerns about that. But do you want to reply, Johan, because you could also put some bullet points in and so on, and then we can do the report and we have to drop out next week. But on that particular issue, you think we're being unreasonable?
Sure.
Just one remark, this was raised yesterday by the Attridge. You will maybe recall she had made a strong argument, her subjective argument, that by giving you the decision, by just adjusting the ceiling to the kind of cause of action, is not really giving the decision. So what must be borne in mind is as far as civil cases are concerned, at least the regional court magistrates will have jurisdiction to deal with cases where the ceiling has been adjusted. But that's not to say that the substantive law issues that they've got to decide will be any different. It's the only thing that's different is the amount. And so I suppose there's both sides to an argument that you now need additional training. You don't need necessarily additional training to deal with a higher amount. Your knowledge of the law needs to be of the same level and quality, whether it's a low amount or a high amount, the principles are the same. As an aside, I've established from my discussions with Tom that at least 40 of the present Supreme Court magistrates have in fact migrated from the civil part of the district court bench to the regional court. Exactly as a result of that, they needed to make their career progress. They didn't want to be stuck in the district court. Most of them do it. Some of our district court civil magistrates are allowed to go to the regional court because they do not want to only exercise their criminal jurisdiction. So I suppose as to the training requirement, there's a lot to be said for that, but again, when you're appointed as a judge, you must be a fit and proper fit. And you must decide on the basis of your track record and the cases that you've been adjudicated in whether you're a fit and proper person or not. I suppose you can never have enough training, but it might be dangerous to put too strong an emphasis on exactly how you must be trained before you can do the job.
For me, I think that's the question to one theory that must be under the point. Can Parliament bind the next Parliament?
Yes, in a limited sense. To say that you must actively monitor the implementation of the bill, that's fine. But if you provide like finite, precise monitoring targets, you can say that you want a 6-monthly report on the progress in implementing the bill, that's fine. We've had this before. But I remember this case.
Actually, there is a this underutilization of courts, especially in township. But on the other side, there is overutilization and problem with space in courts in urban areas. But it is not possible that the department must also check what an extent if those areas like your county courts and so on can be used. And that assist in terms of alleviating pressure on the over-utilized courts.
Should I present that suggestion for something to be put in the report? Yes, sir. are we still dealing with the divorce issues here? I think it was 10B, the concurrent decision for the High Court. C is the summoning of assessors in divorce matters that will be taken from the existing provisions, from the existing act. And D, just make sure that the family advocates and family counsel at the point under mediation and certain divorce matters act. Those people will also be deemed to have been appointed in respect of the regional court exercising divorce jurisdiction. Again, it's a similar provision to the existing Administration Amendment Act.
Any comments?
So, let me just point out here, I referred to the insertion of the word the civil union. It is really up to you. The Civil Union Act has a definition of marriage, and it says marriage in any law whatsoever will always include the civil union. So, strictly speaking, it's not necessary. It is really a question of whether you want to recognize the modern nature of this act, or whether you feel just to stick to the formula. If you feel just to stick theoretically to the law, it's not even necessary to put in for a civil union to this provision.
You could refer to the fact that you can see from the document what is the amount concerned. Other claims, sometimes you have to make a calculation to find the damage, for example. So the check is a liquid document, even an accountant is a liquid
document. You turn to page 10, right? I want to ask you, on one instance, the minister may determine different amounts for the regional court and the district court. Is there a situation where you have the same amount? You would as witness.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Then you deal
with what seem to be two separate things in one, the divorce act or whatever act you're drawn from, right? Line C speaks of relating to the nullity of a marriage and relating to divorce between persons. What's the difference in the nullity of a marriage here?
If you're, for example, you're married and afterwards it turns out that you couldn't legally marry a person, or the marriage officer wasn't really a marriage officer, that no legal marriage was entered into, that would result in the nullity of the marriage, so you don't need to divorce because you're not married.
Right, I get this, okay. Well, not just I understand pretty much what you're saying. 1BB. What does this mean now? A court for a regional division hearing a matter referred to shall have the same jurisdiction as any high court in relation to such a matter. Just explain that, I couldn't follow that.
It's concurrent jurisdiction. So it is really a choice between the parties as to which forum they're going to pursue. Whether they go to the high court or to the regional court exercising that jurisdiction, the court has all the same powers that the high court would have in the state of that matter.
Okay, the last word, deconvention, what does that mean?
Fortunately, not changing anything there, Chair, but if you, for example, claim something from a party, and that party denies the claim and, in fact, files a claim in return, that would be a claim in the convention against the claim. You would have confirmed to me that.
Talking about that,
The next clause, this would be the old clause 6, it's now clause 8 at the top of page 11. The provision being repealed there, again, you can't really see from the clause what it is being there, but if you look at the Principal Act again, it's section 46 of the Principal Act, and it's that provision, if I recall, referring to the old myself. Yes. Provision being repealed now at the moment says subject to the provisions of the Indian Immigration Law of 25 of 1891 of itself. The court shall have no jurisdiction in matters in which the dissolution of the marriage or separation from pregnant cause or of groups of married persons is sought. Obviously, firstly, we don't require that anymore because the regional court is able to exercise divorce jurisdiction. Secondly, we're not sure whether that act or that law is valid.
I know we've been here for 75 years. You know, Sue, my former partner, he's English, right? So, 1985, she associated with the U.S. Congress for a while after. So then, the Immorality Act dissipated, it collapsed. So, now Sue gets teased off. Every 3 months, we have to go to the Home Affairs to get a reviewer. Now they say, if you finish it, fine. I just took this off.
But anyway, now he gets interested, and I get interested, but I have to go to school all the time. Anyway, I'm finding the piece of action to make it. Anyway, it's time to get moving. So I think it's the next to be. He's quickly approaching the family. How do you know? Because he's seeing your name and all that. So anyway, we decided to go. And today, hopefully, it's not going to happen. We go to the house. So we go there. Now, this is all up in Canada, why it's nice. This is nice up here. It's nice. So he's standing there. This is middle class looking guy. We speak fluent English. And looks like he's just got some something. I'm not some other, I'm not from Portland, you know. And this is for the subsidies, and it's a very effective. So he says, you know, like, almost emotionally, when he says, I do not do this. And you know, I'm proud of this. This is my first missionary. And I, you know, I'll tell you, man, he was like quibbly. Because I knew he was a Christian. And this is 85. Now, I'm not 1990, I haven't met a single white man who's ever said to me that I nor have I met a single African who has been part of the African. For the running run is 21 years. So, you know, those people were in the Pakistan to be the African. So, in any case, those guys are like, you know, he's very bad. I want to announce this. I was the first, I was the school I was the first to be leaving in marriage to teach a marriage school. But it was the way that, and they call marriage, the way that marriage officer behaves, it's just bad. It's just beautiful. Yeah, no, it's just a stand. It's the system of God. So I'm going to get our sisters, what a college job. What a sellout job. Why do you make you feel guilty and so on? Because like for her, she's English. You know, all those things, you know, it's absurd that she's trying to teach her to know it. But she feels sort of being too soft on her. So when you're talking about the Indian education law or something, I want to tell you what we just do. Before the Immorality Act was lifted, there's going to tell a blind eye, you know? So we're living together. And I have to look up. Some friend of mine, but I remember something, whether there's a way we could convert to different Muslims, other than that, I don't believe it. And maybe that will qualify. Then can we find what you have to be reclassified, etc., and things that are considered A, something over the But if you don't know that Indian marriage is bad, I was looking it up in 1985, but as far as you spoke about the I think that's the act I look at. Find a loophole, so I'm going to say, if you are permit or whatever it is, if you're working for Afra, find a with Afra, there's a problem about the work time. If the British, I think, would say, it's not to go to the house to be a visa, to work. They will just give a 2 month work time. So if you get married, then you
I'm sure that helps to improve the quality of the book.
Okay.
They said the members support the repeal of that subsection 1.
Yeah, I certainly do.
But then I need a new phone. But that's section 9.
Just deal with a pending proceeding in the prison divorce court. To pay the standard provision, it's just so that things that it will carry on as it has actually never been fought. In any event, it doesn't really matter because they do anything that carry on in that division, apart from the main change. Then, secondly, all the things that will happen on the date of the commencement of this particular section. Firstly, each court. All divorce courts become a court of the regional division designated by the minister in respect of the court. principal holding office as presiding officer of this court shall subject to any conditions regarding the assembly's office, conditions of service, etc., continue to hold office in magistrates of the regional division contemplated in paragraph 8. And just to pause briefly there, the rationale for that expression subject to any condition regarding legal assembly of office. At present, there are some people acting in that court. And this is just to ensure that if you're an acting presiding officer in a divorce court, this act kicks in, you will not automatically become a permanently appointed regional magistrate. You will still remain acting for whatever the term of that contract is. In C, any person is an officer of the court, continues to hold such office as an officer of the regional court in question. The only people in mind here really are the registrar of that court. Thirdly, notwithstanding 2A, that is that the court will now become part of some or other designated regional division. Firstly, the area of jurisdiction of the court will continue to be as it existed immediately before the commencement of this session. And secondly, insofar as that area of jurisdiction overlaps with the area of jurisdiction of other regional divisions, those regional divisions are deemed to have been annexed to the regional division of the court in question in terms of section 21E capital 8 of the principal act that new 21 is inserted specifically to make the region order and come into a branch to be followed here. Then 4, the rule enforced on the date of the commencement in respect of the divorce court shall continue to remain in force until they are appealed or amended by a competent authority. Chair, those are all the provisions originally proposed by the amending bill, and then we've got two additions being proposed. The new sub 5, which should read that any reference in any law to a divorce court established in terms of section 10 of the Administration Amendment Act is deemed to be a reference to a court of a regional division. That is really just a catch-all in case there are any other laws referring to those courts. And I can immediately think of one example, the Children's Law for the Children's Court, the Children's Act, that got a reference to that will automatically become a reference to the regional court. 6, the rule calls for courts of law established by the Court of Law Act must within 6 months after the commencement of the Act review and amend the existing rules of the Magistrates' Court and the rules referred to in subsection 4, that is the rules of the divorce courts. In order to ensure that the courts of regional divisions can exercise jurisdiction conferred on them under the Magistrates' Court Act 44 as amended by this Act effectively and efficiently. B, and I think B is probably the most important part, any rules made or amended as a result of the amendments to the Magistrates' Court Act by this Act must be aimed at enhancing access to the court by, among others, and as far as reasonably possible, 1. Providing for simplified and expeditious procedures, 2. Providing for clerks or registrars to assist litigants, 3. Limiting the costs associated with the litigation processes, and 4. Retaining or improving the measures introduced by the rules referred to in subsection 4, again it's the rules of the divorce courts, in order to facilitate and promote access to the courts referred to in subsection 1. And then C, the rules referred to in paragraph 8 must be submitted to Parliament.
Chair, I have a question. Do we have something like the president of the divorce court? Because we're not referring to this here.
Not in terms of the act, that act refers to presiding officers, but the president is one thing in the municipal division that's being created. So the act doesn't refer to a president of the divorce court.
What is going to happen to a president of the divorce court?
That person, in terms of the act as it stands at the moment, is deemed to be a regional magistrate for the purposes of the Magistrates Act, as conditions of service, etc. So when this act kicks in, the person will no longer be deemed to be, he will simply become a magistrate of the regional division. So I suppose there is it might be perceived as a lowering in status, although that is really arguable, but the rank of that person will remain exactly the same. Salary conditions exactly the same. only on a personal level it might be perceived, although I think it's arguable whether the perception is valid, but on a personal level that person would then become subject to the administrative directions of whoever is the regional court president in that regional division. But yeah, I don't think that is something that the law would necessarily take on at all. The rules, yes.
You are going to sit behind the rules and make it more consistent with the High Court.
I hope that is very clearly put. What it will mean in practice is that the Parliament will probably have a meeting and consider the rules and send whatever message they would like to send. But they would not be able to change the rules, obviously. I mean, if you want that, then you must say it must be approved by Parliament. We tend to avoid that kind because we've had problems in the past in Parliament not in session and those kind of things. It might cause huge delays. It will serve the purpose of drawing the rules to Parliament's attention and for some or other opinion from Parliament, whether it's some negative or positive, but it will involve Parliament in it. I may add, Chair, as an aside, purely, I think members are aware of this, there are certain practical difficulties being encountered at the moment with regard to rules making, and that is also one of the issues that some members might recall. There's a whole chapter in Superior Court Thought on how rules are being made, the role of the various institutions involved, and if this has been identified, we do need a mechanism in terms of which we can move faster when it comes to rule making. Ideally, in this instance, it would have been nice to say, or nice is probably not the appropriate expression, but it would have been prudent to make a provision that even that the rules must be made and submitted to Parliament within a specific time, but the mechanism is rather complicated at the moment. So I don't think we can really go further than what we suggested here, but to at least ensure that within 6 months we will be able to consider.
Yeah, can I just say that you know, this is a very sensitive view, I think we should leave it as it is. Because you see in the cartoon, you've explained it was simplified, we can strengthen that if you want to. But this idea that Parliament was approved from the limited technology, this sort of thing, I don't think it's necessary. I think what we can say in our report to Parliament on it is that we really want the thing to be consensual between all the stakeholders. Now, normally this would involve the department, the magistrates' commission, Haram Khan, people like that. But that's like not done. So we would like all the relevant stakeholders to arrive at this consensus. That's what we would say in our report. But we really want to take it further, then. I think you feel we can take it further.
Okay.
Can you proceed to number 10? 10, the old 8. That is appeal failing the amendment of laws. It says that the President in his act is hereby appealed. That is the divorce court's provision. The law is referred to in the first column of the schedule. Are amended to the extent mentioned in the third column. And nothing in the act is taken up the power exercised by the minister in terms of section 2 of the Magistrate Court Act before the commencement of the act. As are the provisions of the state, sub-district, etc. I think it's prudent if you go to the schedule immediately. I'm not going to look at the part of the schedule is mostly consequential, you will notice that it always changes. It removes the references to the old divorce court because they're not applicable, but I do want to draw attention to an amendment being proposed at this stage. You'll find it on page 15 of the document, as well as on page 17. I think it's better to look at this example in 17. I've added two further amendments, or two further items in this schedule, namely the Maintenance Act and the Domestic Violence Act. And the reason for that is that it became clear gradually, and more specifically after yesterday's input by the two parties that were committed to listen to, that there is, for a reason that I cannot really fathom, a perception that regional courts, because in our civil jurisdiction, will all of a sudden be dealing with maintenance matters and domestic violence matters. Now that is definitely never been the intention. Those matters, the magistrate's courts rather, are seized with those matters as a result of the Maintenance Act and the Wedding and that Act and the Domestic Violence Act and the Wedding and that Act. And the purpose of this amendment that's being proposed in each respect of each act is just to make it very clear that a court, a magistrate's court for the purposes of the Maintenance Act will be a magistrate court of the district. And for the purpose of the Domestic Violence Act, it would be a magistrate court of a district. So that would be perfectly in line with what the intention of the legislature was at the time that those two acts were passed, and it will eliminate any possible confusion that might arise, as we already saw. And then we get to, I think, what is the last clause?
Well, sorry, I'm late. Can I just ask for proper instruction to adopt the section?
Yes.
Okay, you can proceed.
The last clause is a short title and commencement provision. This the Act is called the Revision of the Regional Courts Amendment Act. It comes into operation and that's by the decision by proclamation in the Gazette. And two different dates may be subfixed in respect of different regional divisions for the purposes of section 21G2 of the Magistrates Court Act as inserted by section 1 of this Act. In fact, there's a problem there, which I've just picked up here. Because we'll be changing the clause numbers, that section 1 should become section 2. It will become section 2. It's just a consequential thing. I'd also like to explain in this regard that because of the wording in 1, that it comes into operation on a date fixed by the President by proclamation in the Gazette. So in terms of the interpretation of Statutes Act, whenever an Act contains this provision, it means automatically that the President can put different sections in operation at different times. So it's not necessary to go further than what you're saying in 1 year. As long as you say it comes into operation on a date fixed, it means you can fix different acts. 2 is different. What 2 says is you can also fix those different dates in respect of different regional divisions as may be required. So that is, I think it's probably unnecessary, but it's in abundance of caution, ex abundans et caltera. Make absolutely sure that if it's required, you can follow that route as well.
Okay, I think we've come to the end of the interview. And thank you very much. I hand over to Yanova. You can close the meeting. But before we do, on the report now, if anybody has any new proposals on what should appear there,
Obviously, the first paragraph, we welcome the bill. We think it will enhance the access to justice for the poor and so on. Secondly, we might want to say something about there seems to be some misunderstanding within quarters of the legal fraternity, or what, I don't know what judicial, what fraternity, justice fraternity. And we would like the department to, in consultation with appropriate stakeholders like the Magistrates Commission and so on, seek to inform people more about what the bill is and what its meaning is and its implications are. Thirdly, that we think there should be an incremental, sensible, trauma, I don't know what the words are, implementation of it. Probably we consider the planning commission have covered that already, monitoring have covered that already, costs have covered that already, on rules we want it to be done contemptually. What else do we want to say in the report? This must be a long report, a page, page and a half. What else do we want to say in the report? Can you remember things, Christine? Our friends disappeared, but he's been here from day one. He might be able to pick up some notes. Is there anything else?
I raised the matter of underutilization.
Ah, yeah, underutilization. Yeah.
I've finished for my
turn. I've done the in-house practice. There's no meeting on Friday. We meet next Tuesday again. Can I just suggest that what we...
The meeting on the finalization of money seems to be the first.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, it's half an hour to talk tomorrow. And team
we don't need half an hour, we need 5 minutes, but it's fine. Half past one, we need by 22, that's the answer. We need a quorum, but how can you mobilize this?
Sorry, can I just inquire there, the last time members were called with you, I'm not discussing of the department involved there. If you require his presence, you'll have to fly him down from...
No,
can
no,
I... He's arranged at the... I'll
cut him
for
a time. Can I read something very quickly? Can I just say something else? Next week, when we meet on Tuesday morning, we're going to be very clear where we are. We informally adopt the book. There's no formal adoption. The formal process will begin you on Wednesday. So I don't want you asking to say that we fully like adopted the bill and so on, and we must pay them with respect that is due to them because they have a structure, they claim of 1,300 people or more. And if there is something that they bring out, you are your prepared to the Parliament. If there's something that they bring out beyond what we think they are saying, we may not have to make one or two amendments. We can't invite people here, you know, just do Dominic. Okay, Dominic's here. Then I'll handle this.
Okay. Thanks very much for all your attendance and input and the like, and I appreciate it. Thank you.